Hi, I'm Shun Prochaska, Special Needs Parents and Siblings Coach, and you're listening to my podcast, Let's Talk. In this episode, I speak frankly with Rachel and Josh Taylor from the US about their experience of their mental health issues after the birth of their son, Grayson. Grayson was born in 2019 with microcephaly. This is where an infant's head doesn't grow as large as expected. And Grayson also has epilepsy and global developmental delay. Rachel has her own podcast called Confessions of a Special Needs Parent, which is where I first got to know of her. She interviewed Josh about his emotional ups and downs after Grayson's birth. And it was so refreshing to hear two parents being so honest and open about their emotional journey. Their rawness and honesty is just absolutely inspirational, and I highly recommend giving that a listen. All the details are in the description of where you can follow them on their journey pioneering the all-important cause of mental health issues for parents of children with additional needs. And now, let's get on with the show. Is Grayson there with you now? Is he in the house with you, or is he with family?
Yeah, he's just in the other room talking real loud, screaming, actually.
Is he? And he does that when he's happy, is that right?
Yeah.
Screaming, yeah.
Yep, just making happy noises in the other room right now.
Yeah, yep. That's sweet. And what kind of things, what does he like? What makes him happy?
He loves music. Yeah. Like one of his favorite things is music.
Yeah.
Dancing.
Yep, he loves dancing. Loves his sister. But yeah, he's been happy. But when she was going to full day school for kindergarten. But when she would come home from school, it was like he'd be cranky when she was gone. And as soon as she'd come through the door, he was just like happy as can be, just get all excited. And
that's adorable. Yeah. So they're tight, those two.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really sweet. So there's about just over three years between them.
Yeah, she's definitely his favorite person, I think. Like, yeah. I mean, like, I like to think that I'm his favorite person, but I think she's his favorite.
it's so lovely, isn't it, when you see the bond just happening naturally, you know, between siblings. Almost 6 years between my two. And I thought it would take years, you know, for them to start getting on. But, I mean, as soon as she could smile, you could see they had a little thing, you know, they had a little secret almost between them. Like,
yeah.
Can you tell us about Grayson?
So we didn't know anything was different about him during my pregnancy. He we did just like a 20 week ultrasound. Everything looked normal. They didn't catch anything on the ultrasound. And
normal pregnancy.
Yeah. Pregnancy was totally normal. I mean, like I was sicker than I was with my daughter. I just like had morning sickness till like almost week 30, which was not fun. and then when he was born, he had like a ridge atop, across the top of his head. And so I was kind of concerned that maybe like the bones in his head had started to fuse early. Craniosynostosis is what that's called. And so I brought it up to his pediatrician at the 2 week checkup. And that is the first time that he brought up microcephaly, that term. And kind of surprising that like they did the measurements in the hospital right after he was born and nobody brought up the fact that his head was measuring small. And I found out later how big was his head at birth? It was, I think, 29 and a half centimeters. So pretty small, like way below the first percentile. And nobody even mentioned it at that point. So I think at 3 weeks is when we went for his CT scan. And that's when we found out his brain was quite a bit smaller than it should have been. And then I think at about a month, we went in and had his first MRI done and found out like basically his brain is formed fully, like everything's there, it's just small. And like there's like a few things like his pons on his brainstem is a little bit small. But basically that's it. Like they're, the folds in his brain are like the pattern is a little bit simplified. So there's not as many folds in his brain as there should be. But they can't really tell us like how that's going to affect him. Like they've said like to expect his cognitive abilities to be like, he's probably not going to be as cognitively there, I guess, as other children, but that's really all they've told us that we can expect. Like basically the thing we hear the most is wait and see, which is very frustrating. Sure. We've done genetic testing. They haven't really found much. They told us like, it's not something he inherited from us.
There is something wrong. Something mutated in his genetics that they've never seen before being linked to microcephaly, and so they don't know anything about it. So
they don't know what it's something mutated, but they don't know like how that has affected him for sure.
Okay. And so, time will tell, kind of thing, like, or wait and
yeah,
see.
Yeah, and maybe eventually, like, the science will catch up. Maybe we'll get answers, but we're not, like, holding our breath and hoping for those answers, you know? So, yeah. And I don't know, like, getting that answer has kind of, like, eased my mind, because, like, at first, like, I don't know, like, my brain kind of went to that. Maybe it was something I ate. Maybe it was something I did, like, during the pregnancy, you know? And, like, I don't know, like those a guilt. Hormones. Yeah, those hormones when you're going through like that postpartum stage, and your brain plays all those tricks on you, you know. And so getting those genetic test results, finding out that it wasn't something that he inherited from us, that kind of was a relief, to know that it wasn't something that he got from us, and it was just like this spontaneous thing that happened. That was kind of relieving to know, but it is still also very frustrating that we don't know like why. But also at the same time, he is just who he is. And it's kind of nice to just live that way and be able to just enjoy who he is and kind of discover that as we go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And up until, sorry, were you going to say something there, Josh?
I was just going to say, and then about when he was like 3 months old, the biggest thing is he started having seizures, and that's probably been our biggest fight.
Yeah, that's been our biggest struggle for sure.
Everything under control with that for the past 2 years. He's just getting his seizures under control and once those are under control, he's like a really happy, you can see skills starting to build in him and everything like that when those are under control.
Yeah, like he went through a period I want to say like a couple months after he started having the seizures, there was a period of time where they weren't controlled and we were in the hospital for about a week where he was having them pretty much like back to back and they just couldn't control them. And after we got out of the hospital, he couldn't even take a bottle, like he couldn't coordinate his eating and eventually got a feeding tube. And he just like lost skills that he had previously had. And so we just saw like this regression. And so now it's like when they are controlled, like he just does really well. And so, yeah, that I would say I'd agree. Like that's our biggest struggle is just the seizures. Like, yeah. Definitely. I hate epilepsy.
I can imagine. And is he too young to take medication, or does he take medication for epilepsy?
He does. Yeah. He's currently on three different medications. And then we also do CBD on top of that. We did try. Oh, he's on four. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we did just start a fourth medication. We did try a keto diet. I had high hopes for it, and it just didn't work for him, unfortunately. It actually, he had a 20-minute seizure shortly after starting it, and it just, like, we tried it for close to 2 months, and it seemed like it made things worse, unfortunately, and just really sad that it didn't work for him.
Sure. Gosh, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? Like, the you would never imagine that a diet could I mean here obviously you guys had hoped that it would have a positive effect on it, but I would never imagine that a diet could help epilepsy or affect it or hinder it, you know. That's just,
and there are so many people out there that like, I know of people that are completely off of medications and are controlling epilepsy with diet and with CBD.
Wow.
And that's just amazing to me that you can do that. And that's the thing with epilepsy, is like, it's kind of just like a trial and error. And that's also another frustrating thing, is like, epilepsy is just so, there's not just like a one size fits all thing. It's really trial and error. Yeah, you kind of feel like your kid is a guinea pig a lot of times. Right. And they're just kind of like running all sorts of like experiments on your kid, trying to figure out like what's going to work best for them.
Gosh. And I actually re-listened to your podcast this morning.
Okay.
I was just struck all over again. I know I made a comment on your post and I just saw your reply today, like 10 weeks later. I was just bowled over by your honesty and about how having Grayson affected your mental health, and you know, and just how open you were with sharing all of that. And I really think you're incredible and courageous to do that. And I think it's, you know, and I'm sure you must have had a lot of feedback from other parents in similar situations. How did it help you to make that podcast?
Yeah.
In what way?
Yeah, it helps get stuff off your shoulders. It's also, I think, helped our own family members knowing. Like, we tried to explain it to them, but they probably don't understand it. But when they listen to the podcast and were just like, you know, they were a little bit, you know, sad that we were going through this so much more than what they thought was happening with us. And so family members were reaching out to us, being like, you know, we can help you guys a lot more to help, you know, so you're not so stressed out all the time. And so that's helped us with a lot. It gets our family
kind of on the same page.
On the same page that we're on, so that if like we call them and suggest that Cordy needs to sleep over, then they are more willing to take her, because they know it's like we need that little bit of stress relief at that time. And I think it also really helps just to vocalize that stuff that's going on with your mental health, and you know, getting people that are also in that same state that you are and can also relate to you and be like, oh good, I'm not alone with this, that these mental health issues, you know, it's actually affecting a lot of people, and you're not as crazy as you think you're. Everybody in the world's crazy. So.
Yeah. For me, it's like, I know, like, one of the things I noticed, nobody signs up to be a special needs parent, you know. You know, that's not something you plan for, especially like when you're pregnant with your child and you have no idea, like you're not planning those things. That's not something that's on your mind, you know? And, one of the things that I noticed right away was there wasn't something like that out there. It's just like a lot of people will share like the good things that happen, and there's just like not a lot of there's not as much of that. The hard things aren't shared as much, especially the mental health struggles. And just like especially like the last couple of months, after even I published that episode, I really struggled after, like, he had a 20-minute seizure after that episode, and that really affected me. Like, it just brought up a lot of emotional things for me after that, and I It just pushed me to really almost my breaking point. And I got to the point where I just like, I couldn't take anything else on. And I don't know, like I, like he was worried about me. Like I ended up going and like seeking out, like going to my therapist. Like I'm doing a lot better now, but it, like it was to a point where, I mean, like you messaged me and it was like perfect timing. Like I was at a point where I'm like really, really low. And
was it sort of different to, because I know on your episode you spoke about how it was for you postpartum. Was it kind of similar, the kind of what you went
yeah,
through?
Yeah, I would say it was different in that it was like, I just realized like I hadn't really dealt with, like I had talked about in the episode how he had the seizure at the hospital and like the nurses were there and they actually had to call in like the rapid response team and they had resuscitated him. He'd turned blue. And like it had brought up these feelings of like, I realized like I had never really dealt with that. And like those feelings of helplessness and just like realizing like, I'm going to be dealing with this the rest of my life. And like, I just realized like, I really had never faced those feelings. Like I knew like I had been in that situation, but I never had really like faced them and I never really dealt with them, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's just like, I just realized like how much fear was still there. And then just also the fact that like he's having these seizures and then he's having them not only right when he's falling asleep, but he's having them hours after falling asleep. And so I was also at the point where I felt like I couldn't sleep because how can you sleep when he's been asleep for hours and then he's waking up having a seizure and I can't sleep.
Yeah.
And so on top of the stress, I'm like totally sleep deprived. And so I was like, I was having symptoms where like, I wasn't hearing voices, but I was like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like,
just repetitive.
Like I was repeating thoughts over and over in my mind where I was like, I felt like I was about to go crazy.
Just dumb thoughts.
Yeah, like dumb thoughts that like I didn't need to be repeating these things, but I was like grabbing onto them like they were super important things. Like I need to remember this, but I didn't. And so it was really weird. And it was like, it was stuff I didn't need to be worrying about, but it was like, I was just
like people's names from TV shows, which is like constantly.
Yeah.
Which she had to remember.
And I got to the point where I'd write it down and I'd share it with him. And I was like, this is what's going on in my head. And it's freaking me out. Yeah. And so I was like, I'm worried that I'm going crazy.
Well,
and so, but it's better now. Like I've gotten like medication changes. I've talked to my therapist about it now. And we're at a point where we've added in medications. He's doing better. He hasn't had a seizure for over a month, I think now.
You're getting some good sleep now.
I'm getting good sleep.
Right.
I'm okay.
That's the thing. Like, yeah. Sleep is like medicine, isn't it? Yeah. Like having good sleep.
And so it's just like, it's crazy how like, that mental health part of it is just, that plays such a role. And I just really felt like that mental health aspect just doesn't get talked about as much. And so that just sharing that part of it has really helped me.
And how would you say, like after Grayson was born, how has your mental health changed? I mean, you just spoke about this episode that happened, you know, after the 20 minute seizure and how it affected you. But I'm like, since he was born, how has it changed for you?
For me, well, I've always struggled with anxiety, and I don't think I really put a name to it until after he was born. And I didn't really seek medical or like professional help until after he was born, and it got really bad. Like I was having those episodes of postpartum rage I talked about in my own episode. And I think having him actually pushed me to seek professional help. And so even though things did get really bad, I feel like it's changed for the better. Like, yeah. So mm-hmm. I feel like even though things got bad, it did push me to seek help. And I feel like I'm in a better place now than I was before.
Yeah, I think I'm in a better place now because I think it really taught me how stressed I really was in life compared to when he came, because my doctor told me was like that I'm like running at full capacity all the time, my adrenaline's going all the time, and like adding anything on top of that is just like going to push you over the edge. And so I didn't realize that I was like running at full throttle all the time. And then adding him on there just kind of started pushing me over the full throttle. And so I think it's really helped me to, you know, see those signs that like I'm getting really stressed. And that I can take a day and sit back and try to figure out what's stressing me out so I can either take care of or process those emotions so that I'm not as stressed. So I feel more in control today than I did before he was born. Huh. And so I think it's really taught me a lot about myself.
And how did that stress kind of manifest?
I think a lot of it was like coming from was like, I think I was changing his diaper one day and just like realizing that it is a very good possibility that I could be changing his diapers from 25 years from now. And it's like, I love my kids, but I also like love the idea of watching them grow up, move out, go on to having their own life. And it's just like that I was never going to, you know, have that, you know, I guess, peace of just quiet peace and quietness mm-hmm. of being old and being in my house. I'm always going to have a kid in my house, and that's going to need a lot of attention, and not just and so I think it like really started probably freaking me out that it's just like, you know, looking at it being like, this is my life, I'm going to be changing diapers for the rest of my life, and you know, lots of stuff that, and like realizing that a lot of activities that you can do with kids I might not be able to do with him. And so it's just, yeah, it's just the idea of having to take care of a kid like they're a newborn for 20, 30 years or longer. Is like, I think that really started what initially caused a lot of my stress and just freaking me out that way. I think that's the main thing.
It kind of came out like you had a lot of intrusive thoughts of wanting to get away, to leave.
Yeah. And it's like, scariest part was like, I never wanted to harm my family, but I was perfectly okay with them being harmed in other ways. Like Rachel was planning a trip with her sisters and stuff like that. And like, I'd have thoughts of being like, if she got in a car accident and she was going to take the kids with her, and like, if they got in a car accident and they died, and I would be okay with that. That's not, because it was just like
the responsibility, the thought of
losing that responsibility, when was like, that's what was like very appealing to me in those thoughts. And so yeah, it's just like telling my doctor about those thoughts, and they're just like, it's because you're at full throttle, any thoughts of bringing yourself down to a comfortable level is like, your brain is like, yeah, that's really gonna help us. And it's like, it was I saw that big time. We had a dog for 12 years that we had to put down last year, and like the next day it was like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders, because I no longer had to take that dog outside, no longer had to feed the dog. And I felt really bad because I wasn't crying over losing my dog that I had for 12 years. And it's just kind of like, I I remember telling Rachel, I'm like, am I a psychopath? That, like, I'm not like mourning the loss of my dog. It's the more of like, oh yeah, it's okay, fine. I don't have to take care of, don't have that responsibility in my life. And my doctor reassured me that I'm not a psychopath as well. So that made me happy. But yeah, so it's just crazy how it can just totally, yeah, just that stress levels, you get those too high, and it's just amazing what your brain will come up with to try to make you better or
solve your problem.
Solve your problems.
Yeah. Like a sort of like a fantasy.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. But yeah, I can relate to that in times of like extreme high stress, just being like, I just want to go to sleep for, you know, I don't care how long really, because yeah. I just want this to stop. Yeah. Once Grayson got his diagnosis, how did you, I mean, first of all, you were dealing with your own feelings, of course, and emotions around that. How did you handle other people's reactions? Did you get any sort of funny kind of negative reactions from people in your life, like friends or whatever, or acquaintances even, or?
Nothing that I experienced.
No, not really. I mean, like, we found out about it like about a month after he was born. And I think we sort of kept it quiet-ish, except for with family.
Yeah.
For a couple of months, I think. And then I just like on my Instagram, I just had that kind of private. And then I just had a really strong feeling that I needed to make my account public and start sharing. So when he was about 2 or 3 months old is when I opened that up and made it public and started sharing, and went from having like 60 followers to now I've got over 1,000, and that's been great. Like, I've found a lot of support there. I've made lots of great connections, and just like that community on Instagram, they're so supportive, and I made lots of great friends and connections there, and it's been awesome.
That's wonderful. And have you met a lot of other parents in similar situations? Have those been the most kind of powerful sort of connections, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say, more on Instagram than on Facebook, surprisingly. Like, there's support groups that I'm on Facebook, but I'd say like, more so on Instagram that I found like similar kids with similar diagnoses, and then also people that are like totally different, like different conditions, but I feel like they want to be there for the good and the bad. So like when we've been stuck in the hospital, I'll get like private messages from people that know that we're at the hospital, and they'll just check on us and be like, hey, how's it going? How's Grayson doing? Just know that I'm stuck there and know what it's like, and just want to keep you company, you know?
It's lovely.
So, yeah. So that's been really good for me, like, for sure.
Yeah. I think mostly people have just been, don't know like what microcephaly is or anything like that. So I think most of it is people just asking like, what is that? So I think most of our time is spent just trying to explain to people like what's going on with him. So yeah, our family's been really supportive, and they kind of freaks him out if he has a seizure when they're around, because they're just like, what do we do, call 911? Like, no, we just gotta wait for a little couple
time
minutes it, and see what's
make
happening.
Make sure he's safe.
So it's a lot of education, but we are worried about the future, because people going out, since he is loud when he's happy and stuff like that, so we're a little worried about going to restaurants and stuff like that, and if he starts screaming, people start making comments to us what's going to happen. And so but we'll see what happens.
You mentioned Josh in the podcast that you had somebody say something at work to you, and to do with, you know, it was about God, really. Yeah. And can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's after he was born, I started having like a lot of, you know, like spiritual questioning and stuff, like how, like if God's so merciful and stuff like that, why would they send a, like, why would he send a kid down or bless a kid with these issues that he's just not going to be able to take care of himself? And
or how is this a blessing to me?
How is this a blessing to me that I'm, you know, having thoughts that I want my family to die, or just all the, and so it's just, they're talking about, you know, like about God and how, you know, he always does everything right and everything will be, you know, just have faith in him and everything will be right. And just like, it was just making me so angry that I just, I had to walk away from the conversation because it was just like, I was either going to punch him or I was going to just start blowing up and yelling at him about, you know, that's not, you can't believe in that way, you know, stuff like that. But over time, I've come back to, you know, starting to have more faith in God that, you know, that Grayson is a blessing because, like, you have that little kid, you're holding him, and that little smile of his and giggle is just like, I've told Rachel, like, that's an antidepressant all on its own. Just like hearing him just giggle is just awesome. And he brings everybody together. And as soon as he enters the room, it's just like everybody smiles and their day has been lightened load for them. And so
even strangers,
you know, nurses, when we go to the hospital and we haven't been there for a few months, nurses have to, they'll see our name and they'll be like, I just had to come in and see him because this little guy, he is just so stinking cute and adorable. And it just makes my day. And it's like, it does. And yeah, he has a lot of struggles, and but man, that kid, he just smiles away and just melts her worries away. And it's just, so he's been great to have in our life. And it's like, I don't know. And it's like, I asked Rachel, I was like, if there's one thing you could change, would you make him healthy? Would you make him like a healthy little kid? And it's just like, if I knew he could keep his personality and that little smile and everything like that, then yeah, I would. But if it was like,
making him normal
would like completely change into, you know, into unknown what would be, it'd be like, I'd be a little bit selfish and maybe just not, you know, because he is like, he's happy and he's,
and like he'll be awake at like 2 a.m. and he'll just be giggling in his crib. Yeah. And it's like, I can't get mad at the fact that he's wide awake at 2 a.m. It makes me laugh.
Yeah, it was an interesting time in my life when people talk about God and stuff, and I would get angry because I just, when you're in that position, it's just hard to see
what
you're getting or anything like that.
Or like what the purpose is, or like why he was sent to Earth with the disabilities and what plan God has for him. But I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like, it's interesting because you kind of get to see, I mean, we get to see it kind of unfold, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever find that people don't know what to say?
Yeah, I think like a lot of people are, I don't know, like think it's rude to be like, what's wrong with your kid or something like that if they notice something, they'll just stare at you instead of asking or making conversation. So I think that's where I would like to see a lot more change in people. We did have a stranger in our house the other day, and he asked us straight up, he's like, what's wrong with your kid? And but like, he wasn't mean or anything like that. He just, like, he saw the feeding tube and all the feeding supplies and stuff. So, and he had friends that also had kids that had similar stuff. And so, but it was nice just to be like, this is what's wrong with him. Like, oh, okay. And they understand it, and so it's been that's nice when people are like that instead of just like talking behind your back on like what's going on with their kid, and she's like, just talk to us.
Yeah, and I'd rather have somebody like awkwardly ask me,
yeah,
like what's wrong with your kid, and I mean, like I don't take offense if somebody like asks me awkwardly, and I'd rather have them ask than stare, you know.
Mm-hmm. Looking back, how has your outlook on life changed since Grayson was born? He's what? He's 22 months or 20 months?
Yeah.
Almost 21 actually tomorrow.
Happy tiny birthday.
I forget. I'd say for me, it has changed in that I don't feel like, and I used to be the kind of person that likes to plan ahead a lot. And so I'm more kind of taking it one day at a time instead of being like, let's make all these plans, and it's more of a let's just see how things go type of thing for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely just take one day at a time, but it is like you really start to have to think and stuff differently. It's like we want to go buy a new house this year, and a couple of years ago we made a list of like requirements that we want in a new house, and we brought up that list
yesterday
and then we had to like relook at it, being like, okay, now we most likely are going to need a wheelchair, so the house needs to be easily accessible for a wheelchair, and then yeah, we're going to get a service dog here in the next couple of years. So now we have to think of like what's going to happen with airlines, with the service dogs and everything. How do we handle hotels if we want to go on a vacation, and is our car going to be able to handle a service dog? Do we need to get a new car? So it's just like, it brings up you really start thinking about the details of what's going to happen in the future, and like possible needs that he's going to need. It starts making it really interesting. Yeah. Choosing where you want to live, if you're close enough to your doctors, or if there's a good children's hospital that's close by, or how long is it going to take an ambulance to get to our house if he's having a really bad seizure?
Before it was like, I want to live like further away from the city because I don't like being in crowded areas. And now it's like, we need to put his stuff needs to be the priority. And I want to live far away. It needs to be like, more centered around him and not my priorities, if that makes sense.
Okay. Sure.
So.
And will he, are there like special schools in your area and stuff? Is that something that?
I know there are. Initially they thought that he might have had like a hearing loss, because he passed like his initial hearing test that they did when he was first born. But he had actually a lot of problems with fluid buildup in his ears. And so he didn't like have a startle reflex or anything. And so they thought that he might have like a sensory hearing loss. And so we've been working with the School of the Deaf and Blind. So I know that they have that around here. But he actually, it ends up, he doesn't have any kind of hearing loss. So we don't have to worry about that. But we do work with the early intervention program, and they've been talking about like preschool and stuff lately. And I'm like, it's kind of early to be thinking about that, but I know that is something around here. So they do have like special.
Yeah, a lot of the schools will have like special needs classes.
Yeah,
sure. For
people who are like either like social workers or something like that are running them, so they know how to handle kids like that. But so we'll it's another wait and see.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And if you could go back to when Grayson was born and give yourselves advice as you are now, looking back to yourselves when Grayson was born, what would you tell yourselves?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. I don't know.
Probably just take it one day at a time.
Yeah.
And everything's going to be okay.
And
it's going to be stressful, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Enjoy having him. See, we honestly don't know how long we're going to have him in our life. You know, we don't know if we're going to pass away before he does, or if a seizure is too severe and causes too much problems and we lose him. So it's just just enjoy every moment you can with him.
Yeah. Overall, he's a healthy kid. I mean, there's nothing majorly health-wise, there's nothing majorly wrong with him. It's just really the seizures that he deals with. He's got a healthy heart.
Great.
So.
But what would you tell yourself?
I don't know. Really, my biggest thing is the stinking anxiety. And so, yeah, I think the just taking it one day at a time and just try to relax and try to enjoy him, because I mean, he really is, he's got the sweetest little personality. And I don't know, he gives me kisses and hugs. He does not give dad kisses. It's because the whiskers, he doesn't like the,
sure,
the whiskers, yeah, on the face. And he'll just open his mouth and try to bite down on my face to give me kisses, full open mouth kisses on my face. And so,
that's gorgeous.
I don't know, we have this sweet little bond, he and I do. And I think if I could see that from the beginning, and in November, the first time ever, I had been gone for a couple of hours, and he rolled over and looked at me and said, "Ma," and that's the only time he's ever, I knew he was looking at me, and knew he knew who I was. And I was it was special. And yeah, so it's I knew he knew that I was his mom. And so things like that, I need to just remember that he has that knowledge of who I am. And he understands more than I give him credit for, I think, sometimes. And I think I just need to relax. And if I could tell myself that, I think I could have avoided a little bit of the panic attacks and anxiety that I went through in the beginning, for sure.
It was an absolute pleasure talking to Rachel and Josh about Grayson. And actually, when we finished recording, Grayson was making these happy sounds in the room next door. So Rachel brought him in, and I got to meet him, and we all sat around and had a little chat for a few minutes, and he was just beaming. Grayson was just smiling away the whole time. Gorgeous little lad. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of Let's Talk with me, Shun Prochaska, special needs parents and siblings coach. You can find more episodes on my website in the description, or follow me, Shun Creedon Prochaska, on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. In this episode, we heard Rachel and Josh speak about their mental health issues parenting their son Grayson. You can follow Rachel on Facebook and Instagram at Our Life Upside Down, and listen to her podcast episodes, Confessions of a Special Needs Parent, on all major platforms. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.